early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciples set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? For whom are you looking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the other disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, where the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Break open this word today that your light may shine to illuminate our lives, our community, and our world. And today, help that light to renew our trust in your great, great love for each one of us. Amen. The companions of Jesus often missed the meaning of what Jesus was trying to teach them. They often failed to recognize what God was doing or to understand the ministry and the mission of Jesus. And if we read the Gospels trying to get a glimpse of Jesus and who he was, we may see ourselves in the story as well as people who often miss the meaning or have limited understanding and comprehension. But part of the good news is that God's saving love, God's presence and power in our lives, doesn't depend on our understanding or our comprehension. God's action on our behalf, God's transforming power in the world, works through us, through our community and around us, despite the limits of our insight, our vision, or our understanding. One message of this Easter story is the lesson that Jesus over and over again tried to teach the disciples, tried to teach all of his followers, and that is that we often miss the presence of God among us, that we often fail to recognize and fail to see the presence of God standing right before our eyes. We are people who often miss the divine when it's right in front of us. But the good news today is that God's presence is rich and thick everywhere and in every moment in the world. The Easter story starts with this discovery of the empty tomb. But the real miracle, the resurrection, happened in the dark while everyone was still asleep before anyone got there at all. No one sees the resurrection. They see the risen body, consequences of the resurrection. They see the risen body, and some of them recognize it as Jesus, and as we just read, at first, even Mary doesn't recognize Jesus. They debate about the risen body. Throughout the New Testament, there are different ideas. Paul says the resurrection body is a spiritual body, not a physical, fleshly body. And that debate still goes on today. So there are lots of different understandings among the followers of Jesus about exactly what happened with the resurrection. But we've all seen real consequences of the resurrection. Historians agree that whatever you may believe about exactly what happened with the death and resurrection of Jesus, it's clear that it started a movement of followers who went out with courage and compassion and power because their lives were transformed in ways that made them want to share good news, share the healing and feeding, continue the ministry of Jesus, working for justice and love in the world. And that can't be doubted. Historians agree that there were many, many martyrs, people who gave their lives because they stood up to the Roman Empire, continuing the work and ministry of Jesus, even when that meant death. And there still are people living in those kinds of ways today that we meet and that we experience ourselves. The consequences of the resurrection are visible. Have you seen consequences of the resurrection yet this morning? If not, why not? We could spend our time on Easter Sunday thinking about, wondering about, studying about something that happened long, long time ago. Or we could take time on Easter Sunday to examine our own lives, to look around our own community and to ask ourselves if we see consequences of the risen Christ, consequences of the Spirit of holiness, consequences of the living God present with us right now. We could ask ourselves if the way we see the world is different because of the life of Jesus. If we have trouble looking at any other person and seeing the presence of Christ, then we might remember that Jesus would ask us to pray for new eyes for seeing and continue on the journey until we can recognize the sacredness, the sacred worth and value the presence of Christ in every single life. If we don't recognize the divine in another person, If we come to church and leave saying, oh, I just didn't feel the presence of God there. Do we think that's because God wasn't there? Or are we willing to take some responsibility and say, maybe there's some work I need to do on myself. Maybe I need to reflect myself. What are the blocks? What are the obstacles that are keeping me from being one with the presence of God that's all around us, everywhere, all the time? We need new eyes for seeing. Has Christ been seen in our community this morning? If not, why not? Secrets in the Dark is a book by Frederick Buechner, and in it he relays the story that was the experience of a friend of his who's an Episcopal priest at their congregation where they had a Christmas pageant. Now, this Christmas pageant was a lot like Christmas pageants in all kinds of churches, including our own, where the kids were dressed up, and there were wise men with cotton beards, and there were shepherds in scratchy bathrobes. There was an angelic-looking little Mary and Joseph, and a baby Jesus, a young infant that was pretty new in the congregation. And all those characters came in with the music going down the center aisle and took their places around the manger, and then the angels came. And that year there was a big crowd, a herd of angels with their tinsel halos and their cardboard wings with glitter. And the angels came marching down the aisle as the music played. So many angels that this crowd of angels took their places, and pretty soon all the other characters were blocked from view. And as the angels got in position and the older ones tried to get the younger ones herded into the right spot and the music stopped and there was silence for a moment, a 9-year-old angel had her voice ring out as she said to the younger ones, "Get out of the way and let Jesus show." And the priest said he decided to just declare the benediction and let everyone go home right there with those words ringing in their ears. It's easy for things to get in the way, for our vision to be clouded, for our lives to be so crowded that we have a hard time seeing the presence of God in our midst. The presence of God in each other. It's easy to lose sight, to let our vision be lost among all the competing claims of life, to go through our days in ways that if someone looked at our lives, they might not be able to see Jesus showing at all. But it's also possible for us to refocus our lives, to decide again that what is most important, what deserves our very best, will be to allow that Christ Spirit, that power of love, to be the center of our lives. The very first thing on our list every single day. Have you seen Christ this morning? If not, why not? There are so many different competing claims in our lives, and so many different understandings out there that compete for our attention and our affirmation. How many times have we looked at someone week after week, month after month, year after year, and failed to see the presence of Christ in them? I read about a little country church where for 40 years a man named George was a fixture in the parking lot every Sunday. He didn't come into the church, But every Sunday morning for 40 years, George drove his wife Rose to church. And he was there in the corner parking space. Every morning as friends came in, they'd wave to George and he'd wave. He was there reading his paper. And he would sit there in the car reading his newspaper every Sunday for 40 years. Rose was a pillar in the church. She was very involved in lots of different things, a well-loved and liked member. But George said, as an Irishman, he got all the spirits he needed down at the pub. And he never came inside. But if it was raining during the service, George would be out there with an umbrella to help different people to their cars. If it snowed, George would shovel the sidewalks and sweep the paths if they needed it. Every year, week after week, Sunday after Sunday for 40 years. And then one Sunday, George's car wasn't there anymore. The pastor knew why. Rose's cancer had progressed so much that she just wasn't able to come to church anymore. And the congregation remembered to pray for Rose and for George, to miss them week after week. It was Saturday night before Easter when Rose died. And early the next morning, the church people coming in were surprised to see George's car in the parking lot, and even more surprised when George came in and sat on the back row. And after the pastor's Easter sermon, he asked, as he often asked at the end of his sermon, if anyone had a response. And the people were really surprised when George stood up and a little nervous because many of them knew that George didn't believe in all that and probably didn't even believe in God. So when he stood up, everyone glanced around nervously at each other, and there was a long pause and a few sniffles, and then George cried out, "Rose lives! My Rosie lives!" And he started pelting out, "My wild Irish Rose." And one by one, everybody in the congregation joined in the song, in what someone later said was the greatest Easter hymn ever sung in that church. Have you seen Christ this morning? If not, why not? For Christ is present in our midst, and it's so easy to lose sight of what really matters. But there are so many opportunities for us to open ourselves to the resources around us, to the Spirit of God, with opportunities all around us every day to find strength and hope in each other, to find strength and inspiration in God's presence in each other, all around us every day. And to be reminded that death is not the last word. I'll close today with words from the great theologian Martin Luther, who said, "We do not believe because of the empty tomb. We believe because of the Christ-filled world." Are you looking for God? Then do not strain looking upward, Luther said. The world is full of God. In every yard, in every land, you may find Christ. Go to the most miserable quarter of the city, down the meanest alley. Knock on the poorest door of all. And when that door opens and you gaze into the impoverished face of one in rags, you will see our Christ. Amen. Will you join with me in a moment of silence?